Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being loyal and listening to the channel. We enjoy getting feedback from you, so please make sure you go to our website, click on the feedback button, and tell us how we're doing. That's the only way we know when we're wrong and when we're right. So, also, please visit our sponsors. As you hear their ads, they do pay for the show, and we appreciate their support, and we encourage you to support them. We got a big panel tonight, and we even had one that had to cancel. But we got Bob and Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Glenn Fink with us tonight.
Good evening.
Glenn is chairman of our Public Education Committee, and our focus tonight is on education. We also have Alan Harrop, who is also part of Glenn's Education Committee, and we're glad to have him here, Alan.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm pleased to be here.
We have Pete Benton with us.
Good evening.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
And we have Doug Gould.
Hi.
And like I said, our focus tonight is going to be on public education mainly. We may stray and take off on a tangent here and there like we usually do. But Glenn, you've been attending school board meetings for quite a while, and prior to the COVID event. And you've also run for school board.
Correct.
And you've just been very engaged in public education. Back a few years when we were fighting Common Core, your wife was leading the way, and you were right there every step of the way. So I know you're passionate about the subject, and the reason I asked you here tonight is because during this COVID crisis, this pandemic we're in, schools have not been serving our children at all, as far as I'm concerned. Now, they can claim they are all they want to, but I think the truth is in the results. And they've basically missed a year of education. Now, can you tell us, fill us in, on since November, we've elected a new school board. Actually, we kept the same one. We just added another one. Of the same party. So now the board is totally partisan. It's all Democratic. And there's no diversity there whatsoever as far as partisanship. So can you tell us, has anything changed? Because the promises that were made during the campaign was they were going to fix everything. Now, these incumbents that got reelected and then the new one that was installed on the board, what strides had they made to improving things? Have you noticed anything?
I would just say up until like the last couple, 3 weeks, I didn't see any big difference. It seemed like everybody was kind of walking in lockstep. There didn't seem to be a lot of challenges. And I haven't been going to the meetings live until this last meeting, Thursday, I think it was a week ago, at night, and I actually missed the last work session, even though it was Zoom. But, I mean, recently there has been one of the new board members that has challenged some things on transparency and things like that, which I don't always agree with the approach, but the subject matter, I think, aligns very much with some of the same things that I'm concerned about. So there is some difference that I am seeing, but generally speaking, as it relates to the whole COVID thing, our school board was leading. They were following from behind. They weren't leading from behind. They were following from behind. They were so worried about making a decision that would be helpful to the kids that would end up being controversial potentially by getting kids back in school too soon. They waited until everybody else went before they went. And I think the data would show that all the other school systems around us went in ahead. So we followed from behind, which does impact our kids' opportunity to truly learn. And now I think we're at a better place, at least 4 day a week schooling, I think, for all grades. I believe that's accurate now.
Well, do you know what their plan is for trying to catch these kids up?
I have not picked up on that, other than there is a summer school activity. I think it's a 6 week summer school. It's not mandatory, but it is there to try to catch some of the students up. So that is an activity that the board has pursued, and I think is good that they're doing that. So that is one thing. Unfortunately, I think it's a thing, but they're so far behind. If it has any impact, that's great. But I think that we've got a lot more to do than what that will help accomplish.
Well, knowing you, I know you've probably made inquiries and sought out answers. Does the board seem to be forthcoming with those answers, or is it business as usual?
Well, I mean, recently we did have a discussion with Dr. Doyle and Dr. Diggs, myself and Alan Harrop, and I thought the discussion went well. I thought they were open, but we didn't end up getting a lot more information than we had going in, to be honest with you, on some of the subject we talked about, and we can get into some of that now or later.
Okay.
Some of that discussion.
Well, can you think of anything else revealing about the new board that the public might be interested in that you could share with us, or?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Of course, there's two new board members.
Right. We have one that wasn't actually elected.
Right.
He's filling the seat of Beecher Smith, who was moved over to the county commissioner.
Correct.
She's now a county commissioner. And, of course, we're talking about the Craven County School Board. And Victor Dove filled her seat. And we have invited Victor to be on the show. Twice he's had to cancel because of his business. He just couldn't get here. So we're looking forward to having him in the future.
But, the little bit of interaction I had at an event a couple weeks ago, I look forward to getting an opportunity to spend more time talking to him, because there were some things, you know, that he said and shared that had some encouragement in terms of a different perspective. So,
Alan, is there anything you'd like to add to what Glenn had to say?
I really can't. Obviously, the school's getting back full time is absolutely critical. As Glenn indicated, they're moving in that direction, but at a turtle's pace. So, and making up during the summer. My understanding is they're focusing on the high-risk children, however they're going to define that. So I don't know how that's going to work either, but that's
right.
All I know about.
Full disclosure, Alan Harrop also ran for school board this past November. Okay. Well, let's get on to some other issues, but first let's take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. to enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Hal, you said you had some comments on the school board.
Well, really, I have two that I'd like to get Glenn and Alan's reaction to. One of them is the achievement level that of the county schools. And it was said online. I don't know who put it on there, but I assume that it was approved by Superintendent Doyle, that said that achievement level was on par with the rest of the state. Well, the achievement level that I've seen quoted for the state is 57%. Now, back when I was a kid, 75 was passing, 57 was nowhere near passing. So I think, you know, why would we want to be compared with what other people are achieving when they're not achieving? You know, really, that's the first thing. And you want me to go on with the next one, or you want to?
Well, I'd like to respond to that. I think that if Superintendent Doyle was referring to an overall average for the district, that can be very misleading, because averages can vary quite a bit. And within when you compute an average, you can have quite a bit of variation between the individual schools. And so you could have two average scores that are exactly the same, but if you look at what the schools are that make up that average, they can vary very, very widely. And I think that's true in Craven County. There are some schools that are doing much, much better than others, and others that are very substandard, embarrassingly so. So I think that's an issue where you just can't take one figure and base any kind of conclusion on it.
Well, at one point when I was attending school board members frequently, and I'd like to get back to it, it seems like we have so much to do in CCTA, but they had these underachieving schools. They had to present a plan to how to reach achievement, and I assume that that's still going on. But moving on to the second thing is I heard a comment about two meals a day being bused to school kids that weren't coming to school. Two meals a day. Now, to me, the message is that the government, i.e. the schools, the government somehow has got to take care of you, and that's what I'm trying to say. The government is, you got to look to the government for...
Parent the children.
Yes.
Well, I would just say during the COVID, the primary part of the COVID, a significant goal of theirs was about feeding the kids. That was a priority. I'm not saying everything else was tossed out, but if you listen to the discussion in any of the meetings, you would think that was the main event. I would say that. And to go back to your other question about the metrics or how they get, one, we have 6D schools, which everybody knows, which is not good. And that goes back to Alan's comments about averages can distort things. And I would just say our school, and I believe all schools, have a way of looking at data and sharing what makes them look good at any given time versus the body of evidence across the whole measurement spectrum.
Are you telling us figures don't lie, but liars can figure?
That there's truth in that.
Well, I think back to the day when people had so much pride they didn't want to accept anything from the government, anything free. They wanted to provide for themselves and their own families. And this seems to me that this is sending a message to those kids that you don't have to rely on your parents. The government's going to take care of you.
And Hal, I think, but the other thing it does is it goes down this road where schools are increasingly defining their function away from the basics of education and academic training. Now they're suppliers of food. As we'll talk later on, we'll talk about social issues.
Social engineering.
They see themselves as their responsibility to teach children about various social things, transgenderism, these things that are way beyond the original purpose of schools. And what you're saying is very accurate in that regard about the meals.
Excellent points, excellent points. About the school board and the makeup of the school board, we know that the school board's local power is much greater than what they have exhibited that they were willing to take. I guess what I'm trying to say is it seems to me like they wait for somebody above them, like at the state level, to tell them what to do, and then they just march in lockstep. Not teachers' unions per se, because I've been told they don't have a teachers' union here. But they've got the, what is it, NAA?
NC.
Yeah. It's the same thing as a union, really.
It's been my observation that they get muddled into areas they don't belong in, like feeding children and the social things that you alluded to.
And the things they do belong in, they neglect.
Exactly. Exactly. To do with curriculum, what's taught, to do with making sure that the children are well educated along traditional lines, reading, writing, arithmetic, how to write, how to speak proper grammar, how to do math. They're not getting that.
I was going to add, realizing that the school budget takes up much of our taxation. I guess the question is, how much of the effort that's being done by the school, the social effort or whatever else, is actually documented within what their purposes are? Do we as the public know what the purposes are and where our money is being spent within the school board? I'm going to give a quick answer that says no.
All right.
I'd like to add one thing to that. Back again, this was three years ago. But I went to talk to the finance officer at the school. And we were talking, he was willing to go over the budget with me. And they had the federal money, they had the state money, and they had the local money. And you couldn't just decipher actually what was being spent for what because of that.
Right.
You just couldn't look at it like you can look on a balance sheet usually, or something like Bob would have prepared for CCTA. You can look and see where the money came from and where it went real easily. But you cannot do that if you try to look at the county school budget.
It wasn't a unified budget. It was three budgets.
I believe it's by design. They don't want you to know where it's coming from and especially where it's going. Getting back to the local aspects of it, you know, the curriculum is a local issue. The local school board has the power to set the curriculum. In many of the conversations I've had, they'd like to elude or indicate that, no, they don't have the power over the curriculum. They have to take what comes down. Go ahead, Glenn.
No, I would just say I do believe they understand that they have responsibility locally for curriculum. I think they're okay with not taking that opportunity. And actually, with the discussion that Alan and I had with Dr. Doyle and Dr. Diggs was social studies going to the new standard. One of the things that was discussed, well, the new standards, they don't have curriculum for the new standards. And so in lieu of that, in lieu of saying until we have curriculum, we're going to use the old standards, we're going to use the old curriculum until we get new curriculum positions so that we can do a great job of teaching these new standards. So now, even though after I asked some questions, they basically said under social studies, the teachers are primarily going to NCDPI, the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction website, to pick up their information to do teaching. And this came out of part of the discussion about the critical race theory, about locally they don't believe that there is any activities going on that. But we pointed out that if they're going to NCDPI, there's a good chance that some of that is being influenced. So until I asked that question, they didn't even bring up that, yeah, we can still use the old books. That was a reactionary response to the question when they realized that the emperor had no clothes.
Right. And I agree with you on that, Pete.
Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, what Alan has said and everyone. And my question is, when did it become the responsibility in the past that the educational system should perform the function of logo parentis? That responsibility is borne upon the parents, okay? You go back 200-300 years in the United States. Back then, they didn't have tablets. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TVs. They read. Abraham Lincoln was a self-taught attorney. If you look at Princeton, Yale, Cornell, Brown, they taught religion classes. They taught world history, American history. And if you stop and think about it, God has given us a great omnipotent power, the power to reason. Only man can change his environment. The educational system should be teaching young men and women to be great thinkers, critical thinkers, to be able to analyze things. Okay?
I'm going to go a step beyond that. The parents need to be teaching them. I'll give you an example of bad teaching. I was working in Carolina Colors, and I heard the school bus coming, and I looked up, and there was like three or four parents standing on the corner with their kids, and there was maybe 8 or 10 kids, so, you know, there was several per family. They were waiting to get their lunches. Shame on you, parents.
Yep.
I cannot believe you live in Carolina Colors and you have to depend on the school system to provide lunches for your children. Shame on you.
Exactly.
What happened to personal responsibility? I raised 5 kids living in a 1,100 square foot, 3-bedroom, 1-bath home. I fed them and they grew up to be quite healthy. I just don't get it. I don't get the people that will take advantage of a program just because it's there.
Absolutely.
Indeed, our founders did have tablets, but they wrote on them with chalk.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, Rick, in response to what you're saying, it follows the trend where government, and these are government schools, are increasingly controlling people's lives. You get from the government or from the government schools, the more influence they're going to have over the decisions you make.
Right.
And that's part of this whole movement that you're correctly pointing out that has gone come gradually. And people look at it and say, well, you know, providing lunches to kids, that's a great idea. I mean, who's against kids eating properly? But they neglect to realize where this trend is leading. And it's gotten to the point, as we'll talk a few minutes about critical race theory, where it is beyond control at this point.
They're assuming responsibility over people's lives. Sure. And there are consequences for that. Let me give you another example, and it's not education. My daughter works in an office, and she heads up some of the training sessions that they do. And they typically reserve a space in one of the local restaurants, and they have 15 or 20 people come in for the training sessions. Well, when she went last week to schedule in this same restaurant that they always use, the guy said, I can't get any help. The workers I did had don't want to come back to work. They're getting paid. The government's paying them.
Back to work.
And I can't get any. That's 1,000 times over, 1,000,000 times over across this great land of ours, we have got people that are conditioned to stay home and do nothing because they can make more money than if they went back to the jobs that they previously held.
We've got to push the government away.
a sense of personal and moral responsibility. A constitutional republic cannot survive unless you have a moral society, our founding fathers. I did some research. Has anyone ever read The Republic by Plato? He said there are essentially five regimes: an aristocracy, a timocracy, oligarchy, democracy, and tyranny. We are currently, let me just take just a minute. Oligarchy degenerates into a democracy where freedom is the supreme good, but freedom is also slavery. In democracy, the lower class grows bigger and bigger. The power, the poor become the winners. People are free to do what they want and live how they want. People can even break the law if they choose. The democratic man is consumed with unnecessary desires. These are desires that they have out of an instinct and desires to survive. The democratic man takes great interest in all the things he can buy with his money. Next is tyranny. Democracy then deteriorates into tyranny when no one has discipline and society exists in chaos. It's taken over by the longing for freedom. Power must be seized to maintain order. A champion will come along and experience power, which will cause him to become a tyrant. He is the worst form of man to this being, the most unjust and the furthest removed from any true kind. He is consumed by lawlessness, which has caused him to do many terrible things, such as murdering and plundering. He comes to the closest of lawlessness. The idea of moderation does not exist. He's consumed by the basest pleasures in life. Men granted pleasures on whims destroys the pleasure only attainable through knowing pain. If he spends all of his money and becomes poor, the tyrant will steal and conquer to satiate his desires, but he'll eventually overreach and force himself into a fear of those around him, effectively limiting his freedom. Yep. This is what we're degrading into.
Right.
That's
and if
depressing.
They, if they were teaching history like they should,
yes,
our students would be learning that.
Correct.
Because it used to be taught in the school systems.
Yes.
And they would be more understanding.
Yeah, when it goes back to the lunch program, the federal government is bribing us with our own money again. That's all federal. That is essentially all
right.
Federal money. That's their 10% that comes in. A lot of it's that. And and the issue is once you get a certain level that qualify, I don't even know what the number is, qualify for free lunches, you trigger over to everybody gets free lunches, which gets into what you were
right.
talking about on your example around
right.
the colors. They bribe us with our own money, and we got to get away from
right.
it.
They have no business doing that. Government has no business in education. It's nowhere in the Constitution a power that was given to them. It's one they have assumed and abused. And, you know, it's not just Carolina colors. You can see it many places. People have gotten used. How many people have gotten stimulus checks that really didn't lose anything during this epidemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it? It's just extra money. Okay, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Y'all ready for this? County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Bob, tell us about that. What?
I just wanted to add one other one that I'm aware of, and that is cacistocracy, which is defined as being led by the least qualified.
And that's where we are.
I wanted to point out, I guess it was 25, 30 years ago, a Soviet agent, KGB agent, who defected to the U.S. was being interviewed about what they call active measures or information warfare. And one of the questions asked was, well, how do you attack our political system? And the answer was, we don't. We attack your education system and we wait 20 years.
Right.
So to the degree that we're seeing indoctrination in our schools, don't look at the people doing it. Look at the people driving the influence there, and you'll find that.
It's well documented. People, if you want to find out, the plan has been well documented and laid out since the 40s, the 50s. It's a communist plan to take over this country. And they describe exactly how they're going to do it. It's been done in other countries. George Soros has financed many a turnover of countries, takeovers, corrupt them. They're following the plan to the T right here. You're seeing it. The socialists are in the streets rioting. I don't know what it's going to take to wake most people up.
Yeah, so what are we going to do about it?
Well, you got to stand up. Eventually, it's going to get to a revolt. It's going to get to, people are going to take up arms just to protect themselves. I mean, we're almost there now. We are there. We've had it in certain areas of the country. Look at Seattle. Look at Portland. Look at the couple that stood outside their home trying to, with the firearms, and they were the ones that went to jail, you know. That's the only thing we can do. But right now, we have to make our voices heard. Before it gets to the physical or anything else, we are not outnumbered in numbers.
No, I'm sure you're right about that.
But we are outnumbered in vocal participants.
And Rick, I think one place that we're terribly vulnerable and we need to work on it state by state, and that is election integrity. The reason we are overruled by our government is that the people we elected didn't get installed in every case. In many cases, it's the exact opposite, and
right.
They're doing us dirt.
And we're going through that now. But see, we've let it go to a point so far past just being corrupt, but being totally corrupt. You have no justice system that's effective. You can't rely on the Supreme Court. Your lawmakers are not making good laws. They're making bad laws. And it's not a partisan thing. It's across the aisle. We have just as many on one side that are corrupt and bad as they are on the other side. And what are we going to do about
it? One side has some exceptions, though. I will make that caveat.
Well, the American people are going to have to stand up, make their voices heard. And I don't mean the Rush Limbaughs and those people. They have done their job. Everybody else is going to have to start taking up some lawsuits, start going to the legislators and getting in their face, as Maxine Waters would say, get in their face and tell them you don't approve of what they're doing.
Oh, you mean the woman who tampers with juries and intimidates them, that woman. Okay.
There's an old saying that if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, he'll jump out. But if you put him in a pot of warm water and turn up the heat slowly, he'll happily swim around until he boils to death. And I'm afraid that that's happening to a lot of us, not just with election integrity, but with indoctrination in the schools and so forth. I was hearing from a politician in the last week who is pointing out that as little as 5 calls to a state legislator makes a difference in what they value as important on their agenda. And if you're listening to this show and you're angry about something that has happened and you didn't call your legislature, shame on you. We have to speak out. We can't wait for that heat to be turned up till we boil to death. We're almost there.
We're there. Yep.
You got to rise up, and you got to, I mean, if nothing else, call your legislature and put pressure on them. Tell them you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
All right, you got me fired up now. So here we go. Folks, you got to accept that personal responsibility. We're responsible for the situation we're in right now. I realized and I accepted my own personal responsibility that I sat back and I was fooled. I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought everything was going along just fine. I didn't really know what was going on behind the scenes, but then I started to learn. Folks, if you're still paying a cable bill, you're part of the problem. You're financing this corruption in the news media. You're financing the corruption in all the entertainment industry that's out there. And that's the narrative that's being shoved down young people's throats every single day. What they see on TV, whether they're watching the CNN news or they're watching MTV, which I can't understand how anybody could do that anymore. and so it's an indoctrination tool, and it's thoroughly corrupted our education system, because guess what they show in some of the classrooms? They pull up CNN.
Oh, good grief.
They pull up PBS. They pull up ABC, CBS, NBC. In the classrooms to show them what's going on in our wonderful country.
Well, one of the things, Rick, that I think would help to really focus people's energy and attention are specific issues. It's one thing to think, well, we have problems in the school system and we have this problem and that problem. If it's generic, it's very difficult to deal with. That's why I think this critical race theory comes at such an important time, because that is something that I hope anybody with any sort of ability to think clearly and with any sort of love for this country will see that this issue needs to be stopped.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be stopped now. Perhaps the success, if we can be successful at stopping one issue, that encourages people to go to another issue. I think it has to be battle by battle to win the war.
I agree with you on specifics. The problem is there's so many of them. Which ones do you...
You got to narrow them down to one that you can deal with.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the critical race theory thing. That's one that does need to be attacked. And going back to the communist plan and plot to take over the country, that is part of it. Divide us. Divide us by race, divide us by sex, divide us by any way they can to have us arguing with each other while they sit back and reap the benefits of it.
I want to go back a little bit, backtrack a little bit. We had a meeting Tuesday night where we were talking about the Article 5 Convention of States. And one of the comments made by the people who supported that, well, we have the courts. If it gets out of hand, the courts will stop it. And then one of the people who was opposed to that made the comment, we can't depend on the courts anymore. And I think that's another indication of where we are. What in our government can we depend on to protect our rights?
Well, it goes back to what Pete said, relying on a moral.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Right, we don't. And we have more laws now than we've ever had in history. and people aren't keeping those laws. So adding more and more and more new laws, what makes anybody think that that's going to fix the problem? You don't enforce the ones you got. People don't adhere to. How many people even care that there's a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit? Okay?
They don't.
To Mary's point, I think we have got some legislators in North Carolina who are working to make North Carolina a sanctuary for constitutionally passed laws and refusing item by item to enforce laws that the federal government makes that are contrary to the Constitution and the powers that were granted to them.
I agree with you, but I wish we had more.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a handful.
But it's a start. It is, but it is a start. And some of those things are making good progress. It's my firm belief that if we can work hard to get a handle on keeping unconstitutional laws at bay, protecting our God-given freedoms that the Constitution protects, if we can get our elections fair and safe and one vote for per citizen who's eligible, and if we can get the schools cleaned up so that future generations aren't dragged down with these stupid ideas, that is the key to our success. It's a three-pronged thing, and if we work on all three of those, we don't have to tackle everything.
Well, going back on what you're saying about there's a handful there, I agree, and they're doing good work, but how do we get more? You people out there getting involved. Go into the state legislative building. Being physically present, let them see your face, let them hear your words, let them know what you're for and what you're against.
Paid lobbyists aren't shy about doing that, and we need to not be shy also.
Right. Let them know that if they don't change their ways, they're going to lose their job. Okay? Now, we have got a great lieutenant governor.
You're here.
That is a great example of how you get it done. Okay?
Yep.
And we had him here in town a couple of weeks back, and one of his most passionate statements was, it's time to stand up. Now is the time to take action. Now is the time to get involved. And that's the message we've been trying to get out there all along. Folks, you've got to do it. I mean, if you remember the Reverend Billy Barber, and his hundreds that he would take up there to the Capitol, and they would control the hallways. They would control the news media. They were a handful of people. We outnumber them, but we don't show up. We show up.
Well, some of us do, Rick.
But and not in significant numbers. That's the whole point.
We need to work on that. You're right.
Okay.
Recall John Kennedy's remarks on January the 21st, 1961. When he was inaugurated as President of the United States, he said this, ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country.
You know, I think the people right here in this room are probably among a few that have ever read any of the Common Core standards. Now, I have, and like I said, there's several people here in the room that have, but one of them that really got my goat was that it said that Nagasaki and Hiroshima at the end of World War II made American citizens rethink their values. Now, that was aimed purely at getting young children to question America's values.
Right, right.
That's all.
Yep. All right, we're going to take another break, hear from our sponsors, and come back and wrap this show up. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair. Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade.
And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, Newbern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Alan, you mentioned critical race theory, and I happen to know that you drafted a letter to the Craven County Board of Commissioners, Craven County Board of Education, Superintendent of Craven County Public Schools, some of our legislative representatives and senators, and the subject was instruction about race in Craven County Public Schools. And a number of things in there, I think you were right on. Number one, the fostering of positive race relations is critical to the functioning of a diverse racial community. I agree with that 100%. And then you drop down here where you said the introduction of critical race theory and the 1619 Project, which you can explain a little bit about that, into public school instruction are antithetical to the goal stated by Dr. King and threatens to undermine racial harmony and movement towards a colorblind society. That guarantees equal opportunity for all. I agree with that. That's what I was saying. The part of the communist plot is to divide us, and this is a tool they're used to divide us further than we're already divided. So,
well, just to reinforce what you're saying, Rick, is that critical race theory is a derivative of Marxism. Marxism is based on the notion that there are two classes in every society. There's the exploited and there's the exploiters. And that particular dichotomy was used by Marx from an economic standpoint. In other words, there was the proletariat and then there was the people who didn't have anything, and you know, the bourgeoisie, who were the wealthy people. And they capitalized that until they tried to utilize that and were successful to some extent. But what happened in Western civilization, particularly in America, capitalism produced such an economic success for most people that their standard of living went up so high that that appeal no longer made sense. So what did they fall back on? Well, the creators of critical race theory fell back on the idea that we can divide society by race. And that's exactly what critical race theory does.
All right.
As you said, Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement was focused on judging people by their character, not by their skin color.
Right.
Critical race theory turns that completely upside down. And it tells everyone, especially the children in the schools that are going to be taught this material, if we don't stop it, that you are the way you are, and you should judge people by the color of your skin. And that has such detrimental impact, not only on society, but on the psyche of the individual student.
Right. I agree.
And you can read all about that in the county compasses on the sands now.
That's right. Alan has written an article on critical race theory, and it's out in the paper boxes as we speak in the county compass on the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers in Action page. And we appreciate the county compass for giving us that space. Glenn, do you have anything to add?
I would just say a lot of times people are thinking that critical race theory in itself is a curriculum that is taught, but it is a framework or a construct that teachers are provided to filter everything that's going on in the class, pick out whether it's race or any other thing that is really a normality, like a two-parent home, unaffiliated with race, and make sure that something that is not a two-parent home is given some level of normalcy. And so it's making almost everything normal, trying to make almost anything normal in about 8 different categories.
All right.
Race being one of them, and probably the biggest one.
All right. Well, I think we've covered that pretty good. If anybody has any more questions, make sure you read the article by Alan Harrop in the County Compass. It comes out this week. And also, you can go to our website, cctaxpayers.com, and you can find information there. CCTA is partnering with and helping to support a group here in North Carolina that is getting ready to go national, and that's the Education First Alliance of North Carolina. And they have launched a whistleblower website to help combat this critical race theory. Because I'm going to tell you, if you go to your school board and they may tell you there's nothing in the curriculum, there's nothing in the standards, it's still in the classrooms. Who's monitoring the teachers? Those teachers, a lot of them have their own agenda, and it comes out in the classroom. And who's monitoring them? You parents need to have conversations with your children. Find out what they're being taught. Find out the values and the views that they're coming home with in associated with this type of learning. Anyway, the press release is North Carolina Advocacy Group Education First Alliance has launched a new statewide whistleblower program called Schoolhouse Shock. To gather information about acts of discrimination, harassment, and abuse by public school officials. And they named the program Schoolhouse Shock because it is shocking that schools have gone from being a cocoon where children could happily develop to a divisive cauldron where teachers force students into playing identity politics, said Education First President Sloan Rackmuth. Parents are equally frustrated at the lack of transparency and accountability for what is being taught in North Carolina schools. But to make it a lot shorter presentation than what this whole document gives you, I'm going to cut to the end. Education First Alliance is a North Carolina advocacy group that fights for the equality of dignity and of opportunity for all K-12 students. The group was founded on January 6, 2021 by Sloan Rackmuth. And again, the name of this program is Schoolhouse Shock, and you can go to the Education First Alliance website. You can just search for that Schoolhouse Shock. And again, it's a whistleblower's space where you can go and say, hey, my kid came home from school today, and this is what they learned. Any kind of abuse or anything you think is inappropriate, you can go to that website and report it.
You know, there are apparently some teachers that in our Craven County school system that don't abide by that sort of thing. We have one member of CCTA who is a school teacher, and he's just as conservative as I am. I can't believe that he would indulge in teaching the students that he teaches.
No, you can't paint all the teachers with a broad brush, but you can look at statistics. Our higher education system is just taken over, mostly by liberals.
Thanks for making that point, because it seemed to me that it, you know, that's something important for people to know.
You look at the amount of money that the teachers' unions give to political campaigns and look to who they give them to. Look at the way they vote and the influence they have over our politicians. No, they're not all bad apples. But again, just like before we said, there's a, with the legislators, there's a handful. They're few and far between.
You were searching for the word a while back there for their, I can't think of it.
Now you're searching.
Yeah, no, but what they call them is their associations.
Right.
They don't call them their unions.
Right.
Well, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and swims like a duck,
Right. Well, you know, you can also look at whenever they have these events in Raleigh and all the teachers take off and leave and go up there with their red shirts on to demonstrate.
Looks like a picket line, doesn't
it? That'll pretty much tell you where they stand. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not trying to bash teachers. There's a lot of good teachers out there. I'm thankful for the ones that take their job to heart and try to do it properly.
Actually, Rick, they're real heroes because they put their jobs on the line. If they do their job right, they are subject to being fired.
Right.
That's a horrible thing to think and believe, but I do, and I don't say it lightly. They are real heroes out there.
Unfortunately, we have a new crop of teachers that have just come out of these indoctrination camps called colleges, and they have started right where they were taught to start, right down that socialist path with social engineering and indoctrination of our kids. So, parents, it's up to you.
We've got work to do.
Up to you to get involved. To take a stand, to make your voices heard, show up at the school board meetings, and don't settle for no answer. Make them answer the questions. Stay on them until you get the answer you want. All right, that's all the time we have for today's wake-up call. Hope we hadn't scared you off, and you will come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake-Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.